everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our program. I'm going to read an article titled Problems of Humanity, Capital and Labour. And that's based on a book of the same title, written by the master Joao Kuhl, first published in 1947, shortly after the end of World War II, and revised in 1964 by the Lucis Trust Publishing Company. For the reprint in 1967, the publishers wrote that although some world factors had changed since it was written, its basic teaching on all these seven problems of humanity is still as sound, as dynamic, and as necessary as it was when it was originally written. The spiritual principles to be applied to the problems of humanity are valid today and remain largely ignored by the majority of mankind. Regrettably, even now, many years later, and in spite of the many advances humanity has made, the problem of huge material inequality and the universal spirit of selfishness persists. To bring about happier conditions, one major adjustment must be made and one fundamental change brought about. Otherwise, no hope of peace will be found on earth. The relation between capital and labour, and between both of these groups and humanity as a whole, must be worked out. The problem is one with which we are all familiar. It is one which evokes violent prejudices and partisanships, and in the clamour of all that is being said and in the violence of the battle, it might serve a useful purpose to approach the subject from a more universal angle and with an eye to the emerging spiritual values. First of all, it must be recognised that the cause of all world unrest, of the world wars which have wrecked humanity and the widespread misery upon our planet, can largely be attributed to a selfish group with materialistic purposes who have for centuries exploited the masses and used the labour of mankind for their selfish ends. From the feudal barons of Europe and Great Britain in the Middle Ages, through the powerful business groups of the Victorian era, to the handful of capitalists, national and international, who today control the world's resources, the capitalist system has emerged and has wrecked the world. This group of capitalists has cornered and exploited the world's resources and the staples required for civilized living. They have been able to do this because they have owned and controlled the world's wealth through their interlocking directorates and have retained it in their own hands. They have made possible the vast differences existing between the very rich and the very poor. They love money and the power which money gives. They have stood behind governments and politicians. They have controlled the electorate. They have made possible the narrow nationalistic aims of selfish politics. They have financed the world businesses and controlled oil, coal, power, light, and transportation. They control publicly, or sub rosa, the world's banking accounts. The responsibility for the widespread misery to be found today in every country in the world lies predominantly at the door of certain major interrelated groups of businessmen, bankers, executives of international cartels, monopolies, trusts, and organizations and directors of huge corporations who work for corporate or personal gain. They are not interested in benefiting the public, except insofar that the public demand for better living conditions will enable them, under the law of supply and demand, to provide the goods, the transportation, light and power, which will, in the long run, bring in heavier financial returns. Exploitation of manpower, the manipulation of the major planetary resources, and the promotion of war for private or business profit are characteristic of their methods. In every nation, such men and organizations responsible for the capitalist system are to be found. The ramifications of their businesses and their financial grasp upon humanity were, prior to the war, active in every land, and though they went underground during the war, they still exist. They form an international group, closely interrelated, working in complete unity of idea and intention, and knowing and understanding each other. These men belonged to both the Allied nations and the Axis powers. They have worked together before and through the entire period of the war, through interlocking directorates, under false names and through deceptive organizations, aided by neutrals of their own way of thinking. Remembering, of course, that this was written around, or just after, I should say, World War II. Today, in spite of the disaster which they have brought upon the world, they are again organized and renewing their methods. Their goals remain unchanged. Their international relationships remain unbroken. They constitute the greatest menace mankind faces today. They control politics. They buy prominent men in every nation. They ensure silence through threat, cash, and fear. They amass wealth and buy a spurious popularity through philanthropic enterprise. Their families live soft and easy lives and seldom know the meaning of God-ordained work. They surround themselves with beauty, luxury, and possessions and shut their eyes to the poverty, stark unhappiness, lack of warmth and decent clothing, the starvation and the ugliness of the lives of the millions of whom they are surrounded. They contribute to charities and church agencies as a salve to their consciences or to avoid income taxes. They provide work for countless thousands, but see to it that these thousands receive so small a wage that real comfort, leisure, culture, and travel are impossible. The above is a terrible indictment. It can, however, be substantiated 1,000 times over. It is breeding revolution and a growing spirit of unrest. The masses of the people in every land are aroused and awakening, and a new day is dawning. A war is starting between the selfish moneyed interests and the mass of humanity who demand fair play and a right share of the world's wealth. There are those, however, within the capitalist system who are aware of the danger with which the moneyed interests are faced, and whose natural tendency is to think along broader and more humanitarian lines. These men fall into two main groups. First, those who are real humanitarians, who seek the good of their fellow men, and who have no desire to exploit the masses or to profit by the misery of others. They have risen to place and power through their sheer ability or through inherited business position, and they cannot avoid the responsibility of the disposal of the millions in their hands. They are frequently rendered helpless by their fellow executives, and their hands are largely tied by the existing rules of the game, by their sense of responsibility to their stockholders, and by the realization that no matter what they do, fight or resign, the situation remains unchanged. It is too big for the individual. They remain, therefore, relatively powerless. They are fair and just, decent and kind, simple in their way of life, and with a true sense of values. But there is little of a potent nature that they can do. The second group are those who are clever enough to read the signs of the times. They realize that the capitalist system cannot continue indefinitely in the face of humanity's rising demands and the steady emerging of the spiritual values. They are beginning, therefore, to change their methods and to universalize their businesses and to institute cooperative procedures with their employees. Their inherent selfishness prompts the change, and the instinct of self-preservation determines their attitudes. In between these two groups are those who belong to neither one nor the other. They are a fruitful field for the propaganda of the selfish capitalist or the unselfish humanitarian. It might be well to add here that the selfish thinking and the separative motivation which distinguishes the capitalist system is also to be found in the small and unimportant businessman in the corner grocery, the plumber and the haberdasher who exploits his employees and deceives his customers. It is the universal spirit of selfishness and the love of power with which we have to contend. The war has, however, acted like a purge. It has opened the eyes of men to the underlying cause of war. Economic distress, based on the exploitation of the planet's resources by an international group of selfish and ambitious men. The opportunity to change things is now present. And that was quoted from the book Problems of Humanity by Alice A. Bailey. Now on to an article on an environmental theme. And it's written by a group member living in Norway by the name of Anna Sviestra B. It's titled Save Soil, A Campaign for Life, and was published in the May 2022 issue of the magazine. Firstly, a quote from Dr. Jane Goodall. Soil is the biggest ecosystem on the planet, and so few people know anything about it. One teaspoon of healthy soil probably contains more microbes than there are people on Earth. A crisis unknown to most people is unfolding on the planet. Our very soil, on which life depends, is being depleted and becoming extinct at an alarming rate. The modern Western civilization has largely been built on a sense of disconnectedness from the natural world and from each other. Soil has been treated as an inanimate commodity and not as a living organism. Fields are paved or used for building sites. We have harvested and exploited the land without returning organic content, with the result that the soil is rapidly being depleted. When the organic content is removed from the soil, it becomes sand and desert, while sand, which is supplied with organic matter, turns into soil. The first 12 to 15 inches of the topsoil contains most of the microlife and biodiversity that are the basis of our existence. But through modern farming practices, it is being destroyed, particularly by deep ploughing. Was that ploughing? Sorry. Microorganisms need humus, or humus, moisture, and the shade of green cover, like cover crops or trees, in order to thrive. When large areas of soil are left exposed to the sun and the air, it allows huge amounts of greenhouse gases to escape into the atmosphere. There is more carbon stored in living soil than in plants or in the atmosphere. And if soil is not revitalized, it could release enormous amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, more than all human emissions in the last 30 years. Pervasive use of herbicides, weedicides, and pesticides causes loss of biodiversity. According to the Journal of Biological Conservation, 80% of insect biomass has disappeared in the last 30 years, disrupting soil habitat and preventing regeneration. Excessive and disproportionate use of chemical fertilizers has doubled the amount of man-made nitrogen in water, soil, and air in the last 100 years. Only parts of the synthetic chemicals are absorbed by the plants. The rest of the nitrogen ends up in the atmosphere or runs off farmlands into waterways, such as groundwater, streams, lakes, rivers, and oceans. Dissolved nitrate causes fast growth of microorganisms, algae, and plants in freshwater and marine habitats, which can use up all the oxygen and turn these waterways into so-called dead zones, bereft of all aquatic life. Some soil microorganisms can transform nitrogen from fertilizers into nitrogen-containing gases, driving climate change through emissions of nitrous oxide, which has a warming potential 300 times greater than carbon dioxide. Experts call the excess nitrogen one of the most severe pollution threats facing humanity today. Synthetic fertilizers cause toxic buildup, soil contamination, and nutritional stress. This alters the pH of the soil, stunts plant growth, causes chemical burn and pests. It does not improve the soil structure, but reduces the content of organic matter and beneficial species, leading to mineral depletion. Poor soil leads to poor nutritional value, and today's fruit and vegetables contain 90% fewer nutrients than they used to. Soil with a high content of organic matter can hold large amounts of water and will release it slowly over time. The lack of humus content in the soil makes modern farming methods require an excessive use of water. Depleted soils cannot absorb and regulate water flows, which causes water shortage, droughts, and floods. Several United Nations agencies say scientific data shows that one-third of the soil in the world is already degraded and that we have only 45 to 60 years of agricultural soil left on the planet. In 25 years' time, 40% less food is expected to be produced, according to the World Economic Forum. Thousands of farmers around the world are committing suicide due to the depletion of soil and their subsequent precarious economic situation. Poor people globally are directly affected by land degradation. Population growth and food and water scarcity could make over 1 billion people migrate to other regions and countries by 2050, causing unimaginable suffering and chaos. Soaring food prices and land issues have played a significant role in many major wars and conflicts. Soil extinction leads to serious food crises, water scarcity, loss of biodiversity, climate change, loss of livelihood, conflict, civil wars, and mass migration, and is also a crime against future generations. Globally, there are still no legislation or policies in place to regulate agricultural methods and protect and ensure the health of the soil of the earth. And let's just skip to the last couple of paragraphs here. The solution is to bring back a minimum of at least 3 to 6% organic content to the soil. By bringing one-third to 40% of the land under shade from trees, bushes, grasses, cover crops or other vegetation, and enriching the soil through plant litter and animal waste, we can significantly affect a change in the regeneration of soil within the next 15 to 20 years, but only if we act now. And I'm realizing we've still got another few paragraphs, and of course we're running out of time. If you'd like to read, I think the full article is published on this website. The website address is savesoil.org, and you can also visit another website called consciousplanet.org. Thank you very much for listening in. For more information, check out the website share-international.org. Wishing you a lovely week.